Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Welcome back. Good to have you back in town.
Kid had a baseball tournament over in Vegas, 25 teams.
Oh.
So they made it to the Final Four, one national. Cody Ransom, that's his team. And, so we made it right up until the Final Four. We got right there to the semis, and we're in a real hard-fought game and lost with a chance to go to the championship.
Those are fun. I'm going to say I'm going to say something that's blasphemy, and I almost hope my kid's not listening.
You would root for them to lose?
No, I wouldn't root for them to lose.
Liar!
But I'd be like, what a shame we lost. We can go home.
Let's go home. Well, we played at 8 in the morning, right? You lose, you go home. And we won. Then we played the 2 seed, like at 12, like the number 2 seed in the whole tournament. And we beat them. So then you stay. But, you know, you're thinking when you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning,
we'll probably win a game and then lose another one and we'll be home by dinner time, right? We
win the first game and win the second game. And then all of a sudden we're playing and it's, there's only 4 teams left and we're one of those 4 teams. It's like, okay.
This is what I talk about. This is what I talk about when I say, like, right now for the Cardinals, right? Like, rooting for them to lose. No, I'm not rooting for them to lose. But if it happens, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's kind of the same thing when your kid's in that weekend-long baseball tournament and you're like, I'm not rooting for them to lose, but if it happens, I'm not going to be that upset about it because we get to go home, right?
Got home at like 11 o'clock last night. Man. If we would have won that game, it was a one-run game going into the last inning, then we would have probably got home at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
That's
a long day, but glad to have you back after taking a couple days off last week. Let's weigh in on what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Top story of the day, the Phoenix Suns. Okay, the fun is over with the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs. We'll preview their matchup tonight against Luka and the Mavs.
But first, the Spurs are bad.
Let's look back on a San Antonio Spurs team that has lost 16 of their last 17 games. They were down by 30 points at halftime yesterday to the Suns. Suns destroyed the Spurs and got a lot of rest for a lot of their guys going into tonight's game against the Mavs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 7 straight win versus the Spurs, 6 in a row win in San Antonio, and the Spurs are so bad. And
how bad are they?
Man, they have lost 11 straight games. It's the second longest skid in the history of the Spurs organization. If they lose their next 2 games, they play Houston and then Miami. They'll match the 13-game streak of futility that the 1988-89 team had. So they're 2 losses away from topping that. It was, you know what? And I watched that game, and I won't lie, like, I watched it this morning. Like, I got up bright and early, and I had a lot of catching up to do. I have to be in a way. So I watched that game this morning. And it was interesting because the Spurs jumped out to a 7-0 lead. Right out of the gates, the Spurs are up 7-0. Mikal Bridges finally knocks down a jumper, and the Suns get on the board. They're down 7. They were down 7-0. Now they're up 35-30 at the end of the first quarter. Books got 11. But, man, in the second quarter, they just put it away. DeAndre Ayton hits a 3-pointer top of the key. Hook shot, spin shot. Mikal hits a couple of 3-pointers. 60-39 after 2 free throws by DA. Another hook shot by DA over Dang, and it's 62-39. Bergie, they went into halftime up 71-41. They're up by 30. At that point, I'm like, I don't even know if I have to watch the second half of this game. This game is over. Like, it was done.
The narrator chimes in, you didn't have to watch the second half of that game yesterday.
No, I kept it on. I started to do some more work and prep and, you know, check on some things, but I kept it on. But at that point, the Suns just a dominant second quarter where they blew them out. The bench was good. 18 points, 12 rebounds. And, they took care of business after that loss to the Rockets.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, it was one of those games where just about everybody played well off the bench. Jock Landale had a big game. Even a guy like Josh Okogie, he was 4-12. And they were plus 31 when he was on the floor. He gave them a big spark off the bench in ways beyond just his shooting. Devin Booker only played 28 minutes. Mikal Bridges only played 26. I haven't checked in the last week or so, but both of those guys were flirting with being in the top five of minutes played per game so far this year. So any break you can give them, especially going into the second night of a back-to-back tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, the team that obviously eliminated you in the playoffs, you'll take DeAndre Ayton. Look, Ayton had a rough night on Friday against the Rockets.
He was terrible.
Refs got in his head. He had kind of one of those disengaged DeAndre Ayton games. He stepped up big time yesterday. Mikal Bridges. Got to talk about Mikal Bridges, who showed up on the injury report with a hyperextended knee.
And played.
Remember, this is a guy with 331 consecutive games played. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Monty Williams talked about it after the game.
I mean, I'm sure it scared everybody to see him the way we did the other day, and then you're bracing, you know, you don't know what kind of report you're going to get, but what a blessing it was to be able to win like this, and he didn't have to play heavy minutes tonight. That gives him more time to heal. But, you know, I have to say he's a joy to coach, a joy to be around, because he wants to play, he wants to compete. He never ducks an opportunity to defend the best player. Like, what else can you say? So when the soreness comes up or whatever comes up from an injury standpoint, I want to protect him as I do all the guys. But once I got the clearance that he was okay, it's like, all right, go. You know, because I know you want to be out there.
332 consecutive games for Mikal Bridges.
Tied a career high, right, with the three-pointers. He made six of seven after that knee injury he suffered Friday. Listen, we got to give it out to your boy Dario, too.
I don't know how we got seven minutes into the show and you haven't even mentioned your boy Dario. Well, you know, I don't want to play favorites, right? I want to be an unbiased, equal opportunity kind of guy here. But my favorite, did you see the picture I sent you of Dario?
Yes, the picture of Dario. First picture, yeah.
Post game, he's like leaning on the bench. He's got the headphones on. He's doing a radio interview or a TV interview. And Dario's got this big old smile on his face and like this cheesy thumbs up, like he's, you know, just right off the set of Chips from the 70s or something, right? It's like, yeah, Dario, you're back.
Punch.
17 points.
Punch.
Today.
What was the other guy's name? Punch and John? Was it Joe's the guy's name?
Oh, Punch and.
Oh, nobody ever remembers the other guy.
No, nobody ever remembers
Eric Estrada, right? What was the guy's name? Eric Estrada from Chips.
Punch and.
Nobody remembers who the other guy was. Larry? Larry!
John?
John.
Was it just John?
Was it John?
Yeah, it's just John.
Just John.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. Hey, I was John in Chips. Who?
Who?
Remember the show with Ponch? Yeah, I remember Ponch. I was John.
Hey.
There was another guy on Chips. John. I thought it was about one guy.
Couldn't they give him Ponch a better name? A little more pizzazz? A little more...
You mean John?
I mean John. Yeah. Couldn't they give John a better name?
I remember Ponch. I don't remember John.
Anyway, he looked like Ponch. He looked like the Fonz with a thumb up. Now, look, I don't know how much longer this is going to last. I do know this. Trey Craig is out again tonight. He's been ruled out against the Mavs.
Yeah.
So he won't play. You also got Dwayne Washington Jr., who's also been ruled out tonight. That just came down. Will we see Dario start again tonight?
Why not?
The big challenge that Monty said after the game is he's just not a fan of playing two bigs at the same time. So he doesn't really want Dario next to DeAndre
Ayton. Because defensively, it becomes a real burden if other teams start to play three, four guards, you know, because he can't cover those guys. Dario can cover some fours. He can even cover some fives. But if a team starts to go small on you, it's hard to have Dario out there. But he had a season high 17 points. Started for Torrey Craig again. Did a good job. Was active. And it looks like he's, you know, starting to get back from that injury. If anything, I think him playing well does allow him to be part of any trade package if they decide they want to go that direction. At some point, because he's playing well. He's also on an expiring contract, which is attractive to teams. So look, they like him, but you know, it's hard to get minutes with Landale playing well and Biombo and DA. You know, you don't want to go with, you know, too many bigs, like Monty said. So if anything, if he gets some action and plays well, maybe a team says, Dario could help us. He's no fit there, but he can help us.
He's not moving great, right? Coming off of the ACL surgery. He never really moved great to begin with, but he does.
He's never fleet of foot.
Never. He kind of plods a little bit out there. And absolutely, to your point, if there's a smaller lineup out there, it kind of makes him a liability.
Yeah.
But he still is what he's always been, in that he is a great connector on that team, right? Like he,
that you can run an offense through him because he's a good passer.
Absolutely. He knows where the ball needs to be. He works very well in the .5 system. He kind of has a good understanding about that. And I'll be lying if I said I didn't think about the trade thing yesterday, too. Like, what a Torrey Craig's out. Almost like, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy theory here, but almost like, okay, Torrey Craig's out. And I mean, he played on Wednesday. He injured it on Wednesday. Hey, let's give Dario a run in a couple of these games a little bit. See what he can do. And let's see, because, you know, that December 15th date, it's coming up, Gambo. It's coming up in a big hurry. The day that a third of the league that couldn't be traded.
I'd be shocked now if a deal doesn't, if a deal is done before then. At this point, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
If a deal is done before,
if something happens before the 15th.
Yeah. And I think a conspiracy theory is simply James Jones says, you know what, I'm going to take another guy out and see if we can win, because I just think that I can win with five guys.
That's what we were talking about on Friday. It's almost like, all right, let's test these guys a little more. You know what? Let's do it again tonight. Screw it. Dwayne Washington Jr., you're not available.
I'm going to play four guys in this whole game, and we're going to beat you.
You're not available. You're not available. You're not available. It's like Oprah giving out the gifts. James Jones is handing out the injury.
No, Dwayne Washington. No, you.
No, Torrey Craig. No, Cam Johnson. No, Chris Paul. Everybody's out. We'll be fine against the Mavs. Just fine. 6:30 tip time. You'll hear it here on Arizona Sports. Now, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Mr. Irrelevant became Mr. You better win for us in the playoffs yesterday. Just how relevant will the 49ers be without their top two quarterbacks? That is next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Burns and Gambo.
Out for the season with a broken foot, according to Coach Kyle Shanahan. He had a couple different breaks in his foot. He is going to have an MRI and other tests today just to determine what damage is there. He is expected to have surgery. Again, it is expected to end the season and head into a very murky offseason for Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. What we know right now for this season is that Brock Purdy, the former Mr. Irrelevant, is going to be their starting quarterback. Acquitted himself quite well yesterday. We will see going forward what that looks like.
Massive blow yesterday for the 49ers.
I would add Baker Mayfield today if I was them. I'd add Baker Mayfield right now.
They might. I haven't seen a rumor. I mean, I've seen a lot of suggestions for the same thing. I haven't seen a rumor officially linking Baker, but I would imagine you'd have to take a look at that, wouldn't you?
They added the journeyman Josh Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if the Panthers weigh Baker Mayfield. He was third on the depth chart. He's a veteran quarterback that's won games. And listen, the local from the QC, Brock Purdy, the Gilbert kid, the Queen Creek kid.
Perry
High School.
Perry's like right on the border of Gilbert Queen Creek. Yeah,
it's QC. Right, he probably grew up going to the Olive Mill, one of my favorite places to go eat. I love the freaking Olive Mill.
Mr. Irrelevant.
I love that place.
The last player taken in the NFL draft the year that he was drafted becomes the first Mr. Irrelevant to win a football game as a quarterback, I believe was the stat. He'll become the next the first Mr. Irrelevant to start a game. It's on him now, and that's the thing. Like, even if you go get a Baker Mayfield, even if you go find another quarterback, are you going to be able to get that guy up to speed in order for him to be able to give you a chance? And
really, to get him up to speed by the playoffs, right?
You would think. And like, I was watching Good Morning Football today, and the one thing that kept saying about the 49ers, and they were all in agreement, like, look, this is really bad news for San Francisco. We're not trying to spin this in the other way. But they did say that the one thing about San Francisco is that it's not like Jimmy G is the reason why they're winning these games,
right? No, their defense and their running. Yep.
Jimmy G just needs to not turn the ball over. He needs to not throw interceptions. He needs just to run a well-run offense that doesn't hand the ball over. And as long as that's happening from whoever's back there, the 49ers should still be good. I don't know, man. That feels like lipstick on a pig to me.
He's got a great supporting cast, right? I mean, even with the injury to one of their key running backs, you still got McCaffrey. You got George Kittle. You got Deebo Samuel. You got Brandon Ayuk. You got a defense that is absolutely outstanding, one of the best. So, but here comes the problem, right? There's going to be a game where you're going to need him to make plays to win in the playoffs. You're not going to go every single game where you're just running the ball and playing great defense wins the game for you. Maybe one or two. But when you start talking about having to win three or four games, you're probably going to have, you're going to need your quarterback to win a game for you. At some point, your defense is going to give up some big plays, or your running game is going to get stopped, and you're going to need your quarterback to make a play, not just, hey, don't turn the ball over and we'll win with our running. Like, that works, but not four games in a row.
Yeah.
That usually doesn't work four games in a row in the playoffs. Hey, you know, you throw for 150 yards, don't turn the ball over, we'll win every single game. Because the chances are he is going to turn it over. You're not going to, he's not going to throw the ball seven times a game. Because you do got to get it to Debo. You got to get it to Ayuk. You got to get it to Kittle. You got to throw it to McCaffrey. So he is going to have to make plays. So do you feel, look, the 49ers were very capable of winning it all with Garoppolo. I really believe they were. I think they, although the Eagles are playing so damn well right now.
They killed the Titans yesterday. Just killed them.
I know that A.J. Brown had himself game.
Sure
he had himself a game.
And I tell you, I mean, I know it was just the Colts they played. The Cowboys looked really good, too. I mean, it was the Colts, and they're no good. But Jeff Saturday. Huh?
Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, it's...
Hey, you know what? We think it's great he doesn't have any experience. He won't let those analytics warp his mind. Yeah, how about you get the guy a quarterback? Let's start there. How about that for Jeff Saturday? Let's get the guy a quarterback and start there. But it would have been a tough climb anywhere for San Francisco. And you mentioned Baker. And I mean, I know on paper you look at it and go, okay, well, there's an accomplished quarterback who's now available.
Who
he got cut today.
Available?
Nobody. But he sucks, man. He's been awful this year. Like Josh Rosen, like bad. Like, I was reading the ESPN.com story.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, there's only like three or four quarterbacks who have had a single season worse than Baker Mayfield had this year for Carolina. And one of them was Josh Rosen.
Right. But now you're going to go to a team that has all these weapons.
Yeah. And that would help. That would help.
You're automatically 60% better.
They're not going to be asking you to do as much as probably other teams were.
But what's their options? What else can they do?
There's not much. I mean, it's
nobody out there.
Ride and die with Brock Purdy. And nothing against him.
Can you get anybody out of retirement?
Well, Steve Young ain't walking through that door.
I don't know. What's Josh McCown doing these days?
I don't know what. I don't know. I don't know who would be available. I don't know who'd be able to
go get. Listen, you either roll with Brock Purdy.
You know what?
Roll with him.
I figured it out. Kurt Warner. Boom. Done. Make it happen.
He was almost a 49er once.
That's right.
He went to go visit them.
Come on, Kurt. Make it happen. I'll root for the 49ers if Kurt Warner.
Montana could do it if he's able to wear Skechers instead of cleats.
and drink a Guinness at halftime. All the things that he pitches right there. This is now you heard Ian Rappaport mention it. Now the unfortunate part for Jimmy G, it's twofold. I mean,
they want to bring him back, I think.
They could, but this is the problem, and it's not his fault. Okay, but it's the third time since 2018 that Jimmy G is going to end the season on injured reserve. This is the story of Jimmy Garoppolo. This is the narrative
he
with
somehow
him.
Finds his way on IR.
It just does. And again, it's not his fault. It's nothing he can do to control it. I mean, you saw the play. I saw it yesterday, too. He got tangled up between two tacklers. One of them landed very awkwardly on his foot. That's not a Jimmy G problem. That's just a football thing. But there is this, you know, lack of reliability from him that might affect his market when he goes into this offseason. Yeah, I would think the 49ers would probably want to bring him back unless they're sold on Trey Lance, and I don't know why they would be. For Jimmy G, this makes he was playing and parlaying his way into, I thought, a really nice contract this offseason. Not now.
That was
Not now.
Man, there was even some video on that Ian Rappaport had talked about that they're open to having him return in 2023 under the right circumstances. They're in, maybe they'll bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, admit they made a mistake on Trey Lance and go from there. I don't know what they're going to do. Purdy played well in that game. They won. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the hell out of the Dolphins. Tua was terrible. And Purdy was good. 25 out of 37, 210 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. So maybe you go with the kid from the QC or you just, but like there is no, like the, I would take a shot at Baker. I would take a shot at him.
I don't. What's the harm? Why not give it a shot? I'm just saying that don't expect him to come walking in. And I mean, he was just really bad this year, but he might be better when he's got that cast around him, because that is a heck of a cast. This was the stat that blew me away about this. Kyle Shanahan took the job in 2017. For as much as we knocked Jimmy Garoppolo, listen to this. The San Francisco 49ers in games started by Jimmy G, they're 42-19. When anybody else starts a quarterback, they're 9-29.
Oh my God, is that real?
That's a real stat. Trey Lance, Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard, and Brian Hoyer. When those guys start, Kyle Shanahan is 9-29 as the coach of the 49ers, 42-19 when Jimmy G plays.
That's a worse than 250 winning percentage if I'm counting right on my fingers.
It's
9, 18, 10 out of 27, 40,
yeah.
36.
Just right around 250.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. So look, you can talk about how as good as everything is around the quarterback, you're absolutely right. At some point during the playoffs, because the 49ers are going to go to the playoffs, all right?
You're going to play the Eagles, or you're going to play the Cowboys, and you're going to need your quarterback to do more than hand the ball off.
It's going to be early fourth quarter, and you're going to be down a touchdown. You're going to be down 10 points, and you're going to need a drive.
Yeah.
And you're going to need your quarterback to make plays. And you're going to need your quarterback to do more than not throw an interception. You're going to need him to do something special. That's what the playoffs are about. And if it doesn't happen, then they'll wonder what if in San Francisco again. Tough loss.
That is. Because I think, right now they're the 3 seed, and they'd be playing the Giants in the first round of the playoffs. And I think that they would match up very well with Philadelphia or Dallas if they had Garoppolo, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, Rex Ryan on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max show today said, I just can't see them doing it with a third string guy.
I was actually impressed with Purdy in this game. And what I was impressed with most was Miami's not an easy team to look good against. And you're going to see all the pressure that they put up there. They put them all up there, and you've got to be able to make quick decisions, get the ball out of your hand quick. And the kid did that. So to me, that was impressive. I just think, I have a tough time believing you're going to win with a third string quarterback. I just have a tough time believing that.
Cardinals were once in that position. They didn't win with a third string quarterback. Remember the Drew Stanton? The Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton, Ryan Lindley. Yeah. Ryan Lindley against the Carolina Panthers in the first round.
We've seen backup quarterbacks do well in playoffs. Backup quarterbacks win Super Bowls.
Sure, of course.
Nick Foles, Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah.
But when you go to third string, I mean, this kid's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Purdy's 22 years old. Like, you're going to win, you're going to win 3 games in the playoffs?
No, they're not. So go get Baker. And take your chance. Shoot your shot. See if he can make a difference.
What do you got to lose?
You don't have a thing to lose. You have an NFL playoffs to lose. That's what you have to lose if you don't at least try. I'd be surprised if they don't.
Saying the Rams need a quarterback, though, too, now.
Yeah, well, Stafford's out for the year. Sean McVay basically confirmed it.
But why'd you go there?
No, there's no reason for you to go there. Did you see that they finally, that locker they've been saving for Odell Beckham Jr.
They finally opened it up.
They finally, on second thought, we don't need to keep this open for OBJ. Yes. When we come back, a lot of people had a lot to say about the official college football playoffs, including Nick Saban, who was politicking hard over the weekend. But Bama got left out, and we'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, I got Eric with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. We got a couple of them up there on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, but since we're talking college football here, we'll roll out the college football question. Eric, what do you got for us?
Well, no ASU in the college football playoffs.
What?
Yet.
What?
But there was some players leaving the program earlier today. Some bigger names, Omar Norman Lott, maybe to be one of them. But ASU football losing some players. Does them entering the transfer portal put a damper on the Kenny Dillingham effect on this program? Yes or no?
Not at all.
Daniel Ngata, Chase Feely, Ladarius Henderson, and
Omar Norman Lott.
Here's
the thing. You got to take this philosophy. If you don't want to be here, get out. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be a part of this program. Get out. We'll find somebody that wants to be here. So, no. If you want to leave, you leave.
Would you say it's the opposite then? It's almost encouraging?
I think that you're going to want... Listen, there's probably good football players that you're going to lose, and that sucks. But it just allows him to bring more of his own type of players in and start to rebuild a little bit early. A lot of times you get stuck with... when Dirk Cutter took over for Bruce... Dirk took over for Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that team, if those guys would have transferred, a lot of those guys would have transferred. Sure. Dirk didn't give, he didn't care about that first-year team. So, with a new coach coming in, if a bunch of guys leave, sometimes it's good. He'll be able to bring in his own players and play some younger players instead of being forced to play seniors that he's really not committed to.
Along those same lines, I mean, it was just so expected, I mean, no matter who Kenny Dillingham was, right? Look at Jed Fish down in Tucson. They just lost their best wide receiver.
Does Colorado lose anybody?
Oh no, Colorado's going to gain a bunch of guys.
That they lose anybody.
That means they're going to lose.
Oh yeah, Deion's going to, trust me, he's going to go to some guys and say, yeah, sorry son, there's just not a place for you on Colorado football anymore. Guaranteed that's going to happen.
He's going to lose guys. But he's going to lose guys because they're not going to play.
Yes.
ASU is losing guys that would have played.
Yes.
But they just want to go somewhere else to have an opportunity and maybe go to maybe NIL money, maybe a more winning program. And listen, I'm okay with that.
Short answer is no, it doesn't put much of a damper on it because it was just so expected.
Short answer, big lead, 71.4%. Rolling with no damper on the Kenny Dillingham effect at ASU, 28.6% say yes.
In part because, well, first of all, nothing against any of those guys that are leaving. They were 3-9 last year. That's number one. Number two, this was always going to be a slow burn for Kenny Dillingham. This is not something that's going to get fixed overnight. This program is not something that's going to be great overnight. It's going to be a lot like U of A. It's going to be slow. It's going to take a while. Get ready. It's going to be a few years. At least a couple of years, I think, before he gets this thing going. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. Come on, Nick. Play that sound, Nick.
I think the whole goal is to get the best teams in the playoff. And if there's any teams that are getting in the playoff that we had to play, would we be the underdog? Or would we be the favorite? And if we would be the favorite, that means we're the better team. Our team finished the season really strong. I think we lost two games in the middle of the season when we weren't 100%. Our quarterback wasn't 100% healthy on the road against top 10 teams. And I think some of the teams show vulnerability when they have big losses at the end of the season. And our team finished strong. So, hopefully we'll do everything we can to get the best teams in the playoffs.
Have fun watching the games at home. Nick, have fun watching the games at home. You don't belong. Belong. Two lost teams never made it in. They don't belong. Are the best teams in it? No, but that's not really, you could say that's what it's about. But I think it's a good thing that TCU got in. They were undefeated. They only had the one loss. They lost in overtime in a championship game to a good team. Alabama had two losses. I don't see any problem with this at all. I'm glad that Alabama did not get in. And I think they kind of set it up to make sure Alabama wasn't going to get in.
Okay, I agree with that. And I don't think the issue, if I'm reading into what Nick is saying there, I don't think TCU's the team he has the issue with. I think it's Ohio State. Because he specifically said in that soundbite, teams that lost by big margins scored to the end of the season. Well, that wasn't TCU,
no,
right? They lost in overtime in the Big 12 championship game. It went, by the way, for being meaningless, was a hell of a football game on Saturday. I really enjoyed watching K-State and TCU. That was a lot of fun to watch.
I watched some of that game, too. I enjoyed it.
He's talking about Ohio State. He's talking about how can Ohio State get destroyed by Michigan at home, who happened to be missing their best running back, and still get in. That's who he was politicking right to get in.
Okay,
over.
So let's go over this. How many top 10 teams did Alabama beat this year? Zero.
Zero, okay.
Yeah, how many teams with a winning record did they beat? Three.
That's it, just three?
Three.
Oh, God.
Alabama beat three teams that had a winning record. They did not have a top 10 win. TCU, by the way, had five wins.
Yeah.
Against,
but again, this isn't about TCU.
No, I get it. I get it. I just think, at some point, the games have to matter, and the games that Alabama played mattered. They lost twice, even though both losses were final plays on the road. I get it, but you got to win. You got to win. So, yeah, they had the best losses of any team in the field, but they didn't have the wins. So, yes, you could look at their losses and say, oh, but they lost these two games on the road. It's really good. Where are the wins? Who did Alabama beat? Who did they beat? Where you could say, oh, they definitely deserve it over Ohio State. The Big Ten was much better this year. It was, the conference, the top teams were really good this year in the Big Ten. So I don't, you could look at Alabama's schedule, go up and down it, and show me the great wins for Alabama. They didn't have any.
Yeah, no, trust me, I have no problem with Nick getting left out. I'm glad, especially when, and I know you, I watched it too. We were out to dinner and we had the TV on at the bar, and Nick Saban at halftime of that Big Ten championship game, oh my God, just like shamelessly stumping and politicking and
bad
spinning and trying to
begging like that.
It's just what he's been. Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit, not bad for me. It was shameless. I mean, I understand he's got a job to do. I understand he's got boosters to answer to and an administration, and he gets paid a lot of money to go out there and make his case. So Fox is going to give him the platform. He's going to make his case.
Here's the wins. Utah State, Texas by a point, ULM, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Austin Peay, and Auburn.
Not impressive.
Nope. I mean, you ought to play. Hey, this is where playing Austin Peay and ULM and these schools is where it hurts you.
Yeah, plus, and you're right, where were the wins? I don't think the committee wanted to set a precedent of letting a two-loss team in. I just don't think they wanted to go to, even though, you know, the criteria for how this is going to work is going to change so much in a couple of years from now when they let, you know, 12 teams in. We won't be having conversations like this. Maybe we'll be arguing about the 13th team, but not like super passionately like we are now. So it's number one Georgia versus number four Ohio State. They'll play in the Peach Bowl on New Year's Eve night. You'll have number two Michigan against number three TCU in the Fiesta Bowl here. That is a 1 o'clock kickoff on New Year's Eve day. Those are your two national semifinals. Georgia and Michigan are big time heavy favorites right now to win both of those games. I was fascinated, and I didn't know this. TCU, shockingly, the first team from Texas to make the playoffs since it began in 2014. I was very surprised by that.
First playoff without Bama or Clemson.
And then, of course, the big screw-up, USC, Friday night.
Let's talk about that.
Getting their teeth kicked in by Utah.
This, you know, and that was a game that I was able to watch that game. And it was just USC started off good. They were playing well. They were in the lead. But once Utah got going in that ground game and those big plays that they got, they were giving up. And USC couldn't stop them. It was big play after big play after big play. They were running right through them. And it's typical Pac-12, right? Isn't it typical Pac-12?
Yes.
All you got to do is win. You're in the bay. You lose. So USC was out. And I'm happy about it. I didn't want them to get in. Some people wanted to see them get in. Good for the Pac-12, all of that stuff. I say no. Nonsense. They're leaving, so I wasn't rooting for them. Utah punked them. They punked them good. And that's all they had to do was win that football game. They weren't able to do it. They lost two games, both to Utah. They didn't deserve to be in the playoffs.
See the John Wilner tweet from
this
over the weekend.
This was great. This was really good. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, John Wilner, our favorite Pac-12 insider, tweeted out on Saturday morning, or maybe it was even Friday night, that the game that really hurt the Pac-12 when it was all said and done didn't involve Utah or USC. It was Washington's loss to ASU.
Sean Aguano, the big win.
Because he points out if the Huskies win that game, they're 11-1. And you have two one-loss teams playing each other in the Pac-12 championship.
One of them's going to win.
And in all likelihood, one of them's going to win.
And
one of them's
going to
be the conference champion, and one of them's going to be in
the
final four.
Point. So
and
if
that
ASU,
was the loss that screwed it all up for the conference.
So if ASU did not upset Washington, the Pac-12 has a representative in the college football playoffs right now.
Yes. Yes. Assuming Washington wins every game they play after beating ASU. Now, I know you don't know what's going to happen if history gets changed like that. We don't have a time machine. But yes, if they win every game they play, ASU screwed it up. ASU screwed it up. And Sean Aguano is more than proud of that fact. I'm
Washington's
sure.
Number 12 in the country right now.
Yeah, Pac-12 did really well in the final rankings. I mean, they didn't get a team in the final four, but they did really, really well. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, could this Cardinals season be the final straw for a long-lasting regime in Arizona? We'll talk about that next on Burns and Gambo.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Burns and Gambo.
John Gambo, Dave Burns, hanging out with you here from the Oxygen Community Studios on Arizona Sports. Of course, the bye week for the Cardinals, very odd late bye week for them. Next up, 1 week from tonight, they take on what's going to be, I presume, a very desperate New England Patriot team that's starting to, they're still in it in the AFC, there's no question, but they're on the outside looking in, and they need to stack some wins towards the end of the season. I think they have a pretty tough schedule, so that's 1 week from tonight. Of course, we still have five games left for the Cardinals, and when you're sitting at 4-8, it feels like a long stretch, right? Like a long five more games where you know you're not going to the playoffs. The schedule is filled with teams that are fighting for playoff positioning or fighting to get into the playoffs.
It's a tough spot to be in for a fan.
It really is, isn't it? Because it just feels, if we're just being honest about it, it just feels like an eternity to get to the end of the season, because you know the season's not going anywhere, right? So you've got decisions that the organization needs to make, and you kind of want to hit the fast forward button to see what they're going to do with those decisions.
I like this tweet by Johnny Venerable from yesterday. NFC West quarterbacks heading into December: Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Johnny Wolford, Kyler Murray.
Kind of tells the story, doesn't it?
We could talk about mock drafts now, because you're going to see them every single day. I just saw one today, and there it is, the Cardinals, Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle, Northwestern. You know, solid, consistent. And when you're a bottom 10 team, that's what you're going to get. I mean, there it is, the CBS Sports 2023 NFL mock draft. Only three quarterbacks in round one is top, you know, and that's where they are. Round seven, they got him taking an offensive lineman, which they're going to need. But there's a lot of stuff that has to be determined over these next few weeks. And I think most importantly is the future of the leadership of the Arizona Cardinals.
Well,
from GM to coaching staff, that's going to be determined over these next 5 weeks.
You mentioned Johnny Venerable's Twitter account. He also pointed out, I just checked my tweet deck a minute ago, he also pointed out that Black Monday is 5 weeks from today. And what Black Monday has in store, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. And I mean, we can sit here and say what we'd like to happen, what should happen. Do they need to clean house top to bottom? Will they bring everybody back? Will they cite their injuries and say, hey, let's bring everybody back for one more year because we were so banged up and we want to see if we can have better luck with the injuries? It requires us to know what Michael Bidwell is thinking about his football team right now. And the truth is, we don't know what Michael Bidwell is thinking about Cliff or Steve. I know this.
Thinking, I gave a lot of money out in contract extensions. It's not paying off.
No. And that can cut both ways. I gave a lot of money to these guys. It's not paying off. Or I gave a lot of money to these guys, and I want to give them one more year before I cut them loose and pay twice the salary for one guy to do the job, right?
You might have to pay $50 million to get out of these.
Depending on how much the salaries are,
you might have to pay about $50 million,
you know,
between the two. If you were gonna move on from your GM and coach, my estimate is he's out $50 million.
Get to pay two salaries for one GM, two salaries for one coach. He just might. I don't know how much of an appetite he's got for that after just extending these guys less than 10 months ago, 11 months ago. I don't know.
You have to listen. Nobody wants to do it. It's the question: Do you need to do it? Do you have to do it? I mean, how badly do you still believe in this group? Do you still believe that these guys can get it done? If so, okay, then you're going to keep him. If you don't, if you've lost faith in the leadership, well then, you know, $50 million. I mean, look, it is what it is. We always said it's Michael's money. I mean, this is the cost of doing business in the leagues. Every organization has to pay guys that are hurt. Every organization has to pay guys that they fire. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
You know? And then not every coach that you sign to a 5-year deal makes it through 5 years. Some don't get blown out in 1 year. Some take two or three or four, but usually a lot of teams end up by paying out some of those contracts.
And that's what makes it so tough. And if you're a Cardinals fan, I feel your pain today, because you still have five more games. And you want to see how Kyler plays. You want to see how he plays with Hollywood and D-Hop. Okay, I get all of that. There are football reasons to continue to pay attention. But really, with five games left on the season, the season has been boiled down to, will Cliff be back? Will Steve be back? I mean, that's, and we're not going to know answers to those questions until 5 weeks from today. You know, at the earliest, 5 weeks from today, unless something happens before the end of the season. So you wait, and it makes it feel like a long stretch, because that's kind of the question that everybody wants to know the answer to, and nobody does. I know that today there was a story on the Pro Football Network about five NFL GMs that could be fired after the season. And look, get used to this, folks. Steve Keim's name was on this list. Yeah. Get used to this. Cliff Kingsbury's name is going to be on a lot of lists that are just like this from here
they
to the end of the season.
They should be on the list.
This
when
is
you
how
got
it's going to
be. Like this, you're 4-8, and your name's going to be on lists. Hard decisions are going to have to be made. Chris Ballard of Indianapolis, Mickey Loomis of New Orleans, Nick Caserio of Houston, and George Patton of Denver are also on that list. Guys whose jobs are on the line. Here's what they say about Steve. It only ever seems like the Cardinals have a disappointing season. Among all GMs with at least 5 years of experience, Steve has generated the lowest winning percentage. The only high-level executive without a general manager title with a lower win rate is Bengals director of player personnel, Duke Tobin. It says, in some ways, Kime would end up being a victim of success. The Cardinals made the playoffs in 2021, and the collapse that followed in 2022 means Arizona has severely underperformed expectations. Much of that has to do with the decisions that were made. The defense is full of positionalist players who don't do any specific job well, while the depth along the offensive line has left teams wanting. So that's what they say about it. And obviously, no decisions were made to fire anybody in the bye week. So that no matter what happens, these guys are running it through to the end of the season.
Yes.
And then if you're Michael, you evaluate it. If you still believe that the injuries were a factor and you still got the right guys here, then you run it back another year and you see. You buy yourself another year. But if you have lost all faith, well, then you eat the money over the next 4 years for everybody and you move on.
Well, I would think some of it, too, not all of it, but some of it would depend on your fan base. You know, how alienated are they going to feel if you bring both of them back, right? How many season ticket renewals and you know, money out of your pocket in that regard if you bring them back? And I have no idea.
You let that affect your decision?
I think you certainly run some numbers, you know. I certainly think we had, you know, Jordan Bird in for you on Friday, noted former producer of the Burns and Gambo show and season ticket holder for the Cardinals. He expressed an uncertainty about whether he would be renewing if everybody brought back. I don't know how many people are like that. I don't know what sort of appetite there is for that out there, but that's, I think you think about that. I think you factor everything.
You're married to Kyler, like at least for the next couple of years, right? We kind of feel like there's not a way to get out of Kyler if you decide that Kyler's the problem. And but then what you would do is you would say, okay, if I, you know, Cliff, you know, listen, I'm letting you go because Kyler hasn't developed. Kyler, Jalen Hurts, you should be where Jalen Hurts is. You should be talking about a guy that's an MVP candidate. Like, he was a number one overall pick. You paid him all the money. You might feel like I got to bring somebody else in to try to get more out of Kyler Murray.
Let me ask you this question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
These last five games, if Cliff has success and Kyler has success within the offense, does that open your eyes and get you a reprieve? If you're Cliff, if the number one goal is to make Kyler as good as he can be, can he show enough in these last five games to warrant keeping Cliff around?
I think Michael is looking for a reason to keep guys instead of looking for a reason to fire them. Because everything would trend towards, you got to make changes. So give me a reason to believe in these next five games that this is the right group. Give me a reason to believe that. So I don't think he's looking for a reason to fire him. I think he's looking for a reason to keep him. And it's up to them to show him if they should be capped or not.
Yeah. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the shows. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast brought to you by Carol Royce, Keller Williams, Realty East Valley. Get a higher price selling your home. Get guaranteed offers. Go to higherprice.com. That's higherprice.com. Last time the Suns played in Dallas, it was a precursor to one of the worst moments in recent Suns history. Now they're back. Suns Mavs. We'll preview it next on the Burns and Gambo show.